Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm in the studio with the late Patty Fink.
Who's here? Imagine that. LaRon
has the week off.
LaRon does have the week off. He will be back next week.
And I'll have the week off.
And you'll have the week off next week. We'll have a guest next week. Do you know, everything that we lined up this week fell through. I went through something like 15 different guests this week. You started it.
Yeah.
Great guest that we had planned, and she doesn't work there anymore, so we couldn't get through to her. We will get through. Doesn't matter who, a bunch of people that will be on our show some other time. We have lots to talk about. This week in marriage equality.
Wow.
Do you know, nothing big happened. There was no Supreme Court ruling. There was no...
Well, there was, sort of.
Well,
a state
Supreme Court ruling. But there was no legislative action. There was no governor making, you know, an executive order. But five states are in play right now. And of those, Illinois is not one of them. I mean, Illinois keeps, you know, wandering, meandering, and rambling through their legislature, but no news.
But for listeners, David's been pulling for Illinois now for a long time.
Yeah, LaRon and I bet on that one. He won.
Yeah, and so Illinois, maybe you shouldn't bet on it. See, I'm not allowed to watch the New Orleans Saints play.
Why?
Because when I do, they lose.
Oh.
And so I don't look at it. If they're talking about it on Facebook and I happen to be on Facebook while they're playing, the best scenario is when I don't even know they're playing. Oh, they played today? Oh, look, they won. You know. So.
See, I'm kind of that way in my office when they talk about the Cowboys. Did you see the Cowboys game yesterday? I said, oh, is it football, hockey, what would that be, season?
You can really set someone off, too, and say, who did they play?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were playing the Rangers. What was the score? Cowboys 48, Rangers 3?
After a rainout.
Whatever. Okay, so the Supreme Court decision you're talking about, newly elected Senator Cory Booker. He was elected on Tuesday's special election to replace Frank Lautenberg, who died earlier this year. He was elected
on Thursday, I think.
Was it Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you call it a landslide? 45-55.
It's a pretty sizable lead.
It is sizable, but it's New Jersey also, and one was Tea Party and one was far left. So you would think it would have been higher, I would have thought.
Oh, it's because Sarah Palin swooped in at the last minute to help Steve Lonergan.
And got out the vote for him.
Helped get out the vote for
them.
Okay,
yeah. Okay. I was wondering.
And I think that a lot of Tea Party activists were probably feeling all puffed up about the shutdown. So that might have affected their early voting if the Republicans hadn't taken away early voting.
Right. Well, Cory Booker announced when the courts decided, and we'll get into what the courts did, that same-sex marriage starts Monday. He said he's going to perform the first ceremony. So if you want to get married by a senator in New Jersey, get your butt up to, I guess, Newark on Monday.
It's just historic.
Yeah.
Completely historic.
Yeah.
And it's such a long journey, too, because when New Jersey passed civil unions...
Well, and this is what this court case is about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the civil unions were passed, and then the legislature at the same time ordered a study to see if civil unions really would be equal. So that
it was part of the law, actually.
Yes, as part of New Jersey.
To set up this commission.
New Jersey same-sex couples would be treated fully equally with New Jersey opposite-sex couples who were getting civil unions versus marriage. And, of course, the study came back that said, no, they're terribly not equal. And so
50% of the first 1,000 people who got a civil union in New Jersey filed a complaint. If 50% filed a complaint, you know some of the others, it might have been, or I just don't have time. I would say 3/4 had been discriminated in one way or another.
Oh, they probably are, because if it's 50% had run into an instance where they were denied service or denied a right.
And filed.
Then you know that the others had done the same, they would have been denied.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are kind of like inherent in the thing. So 50% of those had run into something that they could legitimately file
but
a complaint
on. But it's taken years. When did New Jersey civil unions come in?
Oh, gosh, that's been quite a while.
Seven, 8 years? Something like that?
Quite a long time.
Okay, so 7, 8 years, and it took this long. Well, what happened was several couples filed a lawsuit, said this isn't equal, but they filed it after DOMA. Because what they were saying was, okay, you're saying they're equal. The federal government is telling us we can't get these benefits because we're from New Jersey, where your intention was good. And I think New Jersey's law was really well-intentioned. And here's why. I think what they were trying to do was take the religion out of it. And the religious argument is, no, marriage is
sacred.
It's sacred. Take them at their word. Some people really believe that marriage between a man and a woman in a church is the way it's supposed to be. We're not trying to take anything away from gay people. We're not bigoted. Just call it something else and we're good. And I think that's what New Jersey was trying to do. And I'm really giving everybody their best intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they did it because they proved it wasn't. As soon as you call it something else, then you start legislating and you say, no, this is only for married people.
Right. And there are, Lord knows, over 1,000, in one of the studies, over 1,200 rights that mm-hmm. the federal government offers. And imagine what happens at the state level where something as simple as, you know, not being required to testify against your spouse
mm-hmm.
wouldn't apply to civil unions.
Sure.
And, you know, those rights are huge.
So after DOMA, several couples filed lawsuit. And a judge last week ruled, yeah, you're right. Our law says they have to be equal. We set up the commission not to say, ha, 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 see, you're not getting it. They set up the commission to say, no, it's supposed to be equal. And I think the way the law is worded is that if they're not equal, then you have to do the upgrade. I think that's in there in some wording somehow. And I just remember that. I haven't been able to verify that because I was looking for it the other day when I was... Anyway, so it went to the local court. It was appealed immediately by Christie or somebody in the state to the state Supreme Court. State Supreme Court yesterday ruled we will not issue a stay. That marriages start on Monday.
Well, and the Supreme Court in New Jersey had said also in a previous ruling that they're not equal, they must be equal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to proceed forward to begin marriage equality
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey, and Christie stepped in to do a stay. And I think he only did that because he's looking to run for president.
He's pandering.
He's pandering to the Tea Party folks.
And I think, actually, and I'm giving him credit for this, I think he's good with this. The court ruled that's a different branch of government. I'm the executive. I'm the one who issued the, you know, who went for the stay. I'm the one. So we did all legal avenues. There was nothing else I can do. What do you want me to do? It's New Jersey. It's liberal.
Yeah.
You know, I have a Democratic legislature. I have judges who have been appointed by Democratic governors, liberal court, liberal legislature, and me. What else can I do? But I don't really think he's opposed to it, because he's even said, no, if the state voted for it, I'm okay with that.
Well, and that's just the thing. There have been a lot of politicians, especially coming out of the GOP
mm-hmm.
over the years, who really don't believe this stuff when they say, especially Bush. Look at W. Yeah. You know,
he didn't
raise
his kids to be homophobic. They had lots of
friends. And he stood in the Rose Garden and said, I think that we should have a constitutional amendment that makes it only a man and a woman mm-hmm. in marriage. And he did that for political reasons, because
sure.
he needed to be reelected in 2004. But he doesn't really believe that.
No.
I mean, you can see afterwards. I mean, and on the eve of the election, when he's no longer in play after his last term, he says, oh, I think civil unions are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, duh.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just like Anita Perry in Austin said, mm-hmm. you know, Roe v. Wade is the law. Mm-hmm. Women have a right to abortion services.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoa. You know, she recognizes that it's the law, but your colleagues...
Well, her husband said, no, she doesn't. She didn't say that.
Right.
I'm going to rewrite
taped.
What she... No, she didn't say that. She was misquoticated. So anyway, New Jersey becomes state number 14. So we have 14 states.
Plus this
District of Columbia. Plus parts of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Plus a bunch of Indian reservations. In some states that do not have marriage equality.
Don't you think it's interesting, though, that New Jersey butts right up to Pennsylvania? And in the
that's one of the other
same reasonable time frames, mm-hmm. the governor of Pennsylvania very recently compared married same-sex couples to incest.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's full marriage equality just across the bridge in New Jersey. And it's amazing that the dichotomies are huge.
Right. Now, I didn't even list Philadelphia as one of the places in play, but Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's in play because that's not this week in marriage equality. That's last week in marriage equality. They took a play out of the New Mexico playbook, and one of their district clerks or whoever it is that issues marriage licenses took it upon himself in Philadelphia to start issuing marriage licenses.
Hmm.
So Philadelphia has some marriage licenses, questionably legal. They have a constitutional amendment. The difference in New Mexico is they don't.
Right. Their constitution is silent.
Right. So Pennsylvania, they're just not obeying the law. It's going to go to court. And I think it's going to be heard this spring. Another one that's going to be heard this spring, and this just came up this week, is Michigan. The court's going to look at the 2004 marriage ban. But it's interesting what they're examining. What they're examining is whether the state has a legitimate interest in limiting marriage to a man and a woman. Do they have a legitimate reason? Now, if you go back to the original DOMA case, or the Prop 8 case, actually.
Right, that was the guts of that, was to the state's interest.
What's the state's interest? And the opposition couldn't come up with any reason to ban marriage other than we don't like it. We don't like those people. We don't like it.
This is the guy, the expert that said his source was, I read it on the internet, that very case. But, you know, because when they go the procreation route, well, that you're not standing up and demanding a constitutional amendment that bans marriage between couples who have no kids.
My father remarried when he was, I think, 64 when he remarried, and his wife was actually a few years older. They didn't have any kids.
And
was that a legitimate?
And they didn't plan to have any kids.
And they didn't plan to have any kids. There was no way they could have kids. They were married for 17 years, I believe.
So if you have all of these
Was that a legitimate marriage?
Oh, absolutely it was, because you can't have a situation where procreation is a requirement, a mandate, because there are so many marriages that everybody supports that happen
Catholic
between
Church,
two people that are not going to have kids.
But the Catholic Church that's against same-sex marriage, they're also against a lot of fertilization clinics and genetic engineering that's going to help some people and does help some people have kids. Well, if the requirement to be married is to have kids, and that's the only way you can have kids, but you're against that too, so should somebody who can't have kids not be married, apparently, or not because they're straight? I mean, it makes no sense. So Michigan is, I think that's fascinating, because they're not looking at, is the amendment legal? They're looking at, does the ban serve a legitimate state interest? And there's going to be testimony, one of the couples, or more than one, has kids. Doesn't it serve the interest of the child to have two registered, legitimate parents? Of course it does.
Who have a legal commitment
to
each other and to the child.
Of course it does. Of course it does. So there's going to be so many instances and reasons. We have more this week in, or do we have, we have 3 minutes. Okay. Let's just go through these. North Carolina. North Carolina, again, they took a play out of the New Mexico playbook. And in Asheville, the Buncombe County Register of Deeds has accepted 10 marriage applications and asked the Attorney General for an opinion. Now, I can just imagine what the Attorney General's opinion is going to be, and this is Asheville, North Carolina. But here we go again. I mean, it brings up the discussion, and that opens the way for these couples to file the lawsuit. And once Michigan finds that the state, because there's no doubt that Michigan, there's no doubt how this is going to pass in Michigan. Once Michigan finds that that state has no legal reason to ban marriage, this court that's looking at the same issue is going to only have other judicial opinions to rely on that say, no, states don't have any kind of legitimate interest.
Well, they can't come forward with one because they've tried over and over to say that these are the reasons the state has
an
interest.
There isn't one.
Because there's not one. There's not a legitimate one.
It's not a legitimate reason. Just not a legitimate reason. The other one that was real interesting this week, Oregon has a constitutional amendment. They're expecting a repeal of the constitutional amendment to go on the ballot in 2014. In the meantime, Oregon, which has a very strong comedy law, meaning not comedy, it's not a funny state at all.
C-O-M-I-T-Y.
Yes, that they accept licenses and contracts from other states. They recognize marriages from other states. They said this week, we're recognizing marriages from other states. And
if they'll do it for people who are married outside the state, will they do it for their own citizens? That's a big question.
Right, right. Well, and for several places, Rhode Island, that was the first step. You know, all around Rhode Island, you can get married. It was a 20-mile drive at most from anywhere in Rhode Island to another state where you could get married. Was not a hardship. Was there a reason to not have marriage in Rhode Island? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here with the late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more right after this.
Howdy, this is Dono from the Friday edition of Texas Blues Radio. This Sunday, October 20th, join us for a KNON benefit celebrating my 30th anniversary with KNON. Performances from Larry Lampkin from Fort Worth, Texas, Greg Iser and the Box Kickers from Austin, Texas, and Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch from Dallas, Texas. Very special guests will be in the house and on the stage. Admission includes a free barbecue dinner from the Alligator Cafe while it lasts. There will also be cake while it lasts, so get there early. That's this Sunday, October 20th at Poor David's Pub, 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. Doors at 4 p.m., music at 4:30 p.m. Tickets available online at KNON.org. Good Records in Dallas and Forever Young in Grand Prairie. Tickets cost more at the door, so get your tickets now. Come on out and help me celebrate 30 years on KNON. Your ears will thank you for it. This is a KNON benefit event.
The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, and familial status. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance. The only way to stop housing discrimination is to report it. HUD.gov/fairhousing or 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. One more marriage thing. Mm-hmm. France. A couple of dozen mayors wanted to not perform same-sex marriages, or not perform them, not issue the licenses. And the federal government there said, no, you can't do that. It's actually our law, and just because you don't like it, too bad. You don't have to go to the wedding. You don't have to, somebody in your office will do it. So you can't do that. So
it's almost as ridiculous as not issuing a death certificate.
Because you didn't like the person.
You didn't like the person, so we're going to bunch up the system.
Do you know what I put it as the same as in Texas or any other southern state? Or not southern, any state. New York, hunting licenses. The same people very often issue hunting licenses. I don't hunt. I don't really like hunting. If that's my job, I don't have the right to say, you know, morally, I'm just against hunting, so I'm not going to issue hunting licenses.
Right. I'm pro-Bambi. You can't do
it. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I put it. It's just a license that you're designated the person to issue them. Nobody's asking you to do the marriage. Nobody's asking you to, you know.
Shoot Bambi.
All I need you to do is fill out that and sign that certificate because that's your job. And it's the same thing as a hunting license or any other license that they issue in those offices.
Yep, so,
you want to talk about our friend Teddy Cruzy?
Yeah, I just wanted to take note because we've been talking about the shutdown now for all of these many weeks,
mm-hmm.
And of course the government is back in play, but it's only until January, and then the debt ceiling comes up again in February. So, if the Republican Party chooses to move forward with this process in a hopscotch way, and they do it right through until November, that would be kind of something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because people do forget, but it's going to keep happening because they only let it happen for a couple of weeks or a month or two. But the polling this week has been really, really interesting.
Isn't it interesting how the polling comes out?
Yeah, the Pew did a poll of, for one, here's an interesting thing is they polled those who self-identify as Tea Party people,
mm-hmm.
and 52% of them don't think that the Tea Party is part of the Republican Party, and 41% believe it is. And so they're so divided there. I mean, the Republican Party itself is...
9% don't know?
I guess they don't know. It is a big question. Is it part of the Republican Party, or are they completely separate?
You know, the idea was Tea Party is a designation that anybody can have. They're not going to start their own party. But there are no Tea Party Democrats, are there?
No. Mm-hmm. And I remember the days back after the election of President Obama,
mm-hmm.
Before he took office, that and the Tea Party was forming, and then the next year it really kicked in, that the religious right wing, you know, Family Research Council and all of mm-hmm. them were very worried because the Tea Party didn't want to do anything social mm-hmm. justice kind of stuff in their view what social justice is, or take up social causes. And so they had this conference even to kind of like court them and say, we're with you, because they knew that mm-hmm. this was a force to be reckoned with. And then they melded, and now they're all just one big thing. I mean, it's really a amalgamation of quite a lot of bigotry.
You know, we were talking in the last hour. Part of the problem with the Tea Party is you can't always tell who's Tea Party. Ted Cruz, sure.
Mm-hmm.
John Cornyn,
no.
You're saying no, but he did a whole bunch of pandering over the last week or two to the Tea Party.
Sure, because he doesn't want to have an opponent that's going to try and...
So you
know,
say no with him?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
But if you... There was an interesting article in the Washington Post this week about how Speaker Boehner is really, really tight and has been for decades with the big business community,
mm-hmm.
you know, the National Chamber of Commerce and really large businesses. And they don't like this Tea Party stuff that's going on. It's
bad for business.
This whole shutdown costs $28 billion or $24 billion.
It could cost more. If something happens to the U.S. credit rating, a tiny smidge, and the interest rates go up by 0.1% as a result, that's $2 billion.
Right, and that's on the Republicans for the shutdown.
0.1%.
Right. Well, so the big business out there is backing. I mean, we see it happen in local races here, but big business is putting up candidates to run against these Tea Party incumbents
mm-hmm.
who are in Congress right now, and they're doing it in three states. And so we'll be seeing. I think we're seeing the backlash begin.
Well, you're
within
saying,
the Republican Party.
You're saying they're doing it in three states. I think it's going to happen in more,
mm-hmm.
where the conservative candidate runs against the Tea Party candidate, and the business community, the money in the community will just gravitate toward the conservative candidate, the traditional Republican candidate. I'm calling him conservative, the traditional Republican candidate.
Right, who's sane, the sane Republican.
Who's the person who has views and supports certain issues that we might not support, but you can talk to.
Right, exactly. And you'll see people. I mean, I saw Kathleen Parker this week on.
Mm-hmm.
She writes for the Washington Post,
mm-hmm.
is very conservative, and you know, was talking about the sane Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
She even calls them that. You know, they're the ones who are not this crazy Tea Party
right.
bunch. And one of the things that I think is most interesting is the I don't know whether he's a Democrat or a conservative Republican, but one of the sons of someone who was killed at that Sikh.
Yes.
Mass killing.
Planning on running against.
Is running against Paul Ryan
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So that'll be very interesting as well. So I think, you know, everybody's so scared of opposing the Tea Party because they'll put up somebody against you and primary you.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a verb, like early vote is a verb. But, you know, they'll primary you and get you out of office. Well, I think the opposite's going to start happening, too. They're going to start taking out some of these Tea Party people in the primaries.
So do you think all this publicity that Ted Cruz got over the last couple of weeks was good?
I think it was good for Ted Cruz, because those who are true believers are so pumped up and so fired up. But I think the rest of the people who are not, which is most people, are reeling.
And when I say it was good, I mean good in the long run, because it really showed off what a whack job he is. I got a call from a cousin of mine who we talk occasionally. His father was 95 years old and passed away about a year and a half ago. His mom is late 80s. So when I heard from him, it was like, oh, my God, you know, yeah, Bob, what? Hi. And he said, what the hell's wrong with Ted Cruz?
Because you can call anybody in Texas and we're experts on Ted
well,
Cruz.
Yeah, and I said, what do you mean? We love Ted Cruz. So he said, yeah, right. He said, no, seriously, is he? We're just not understanding up here in New York. So, but yeah.
I think it's good for him. I mean, he raised like $1.5 million in this period of time. Yeah, but that's very common, any kind of publicity.
The PAC that supports him gained 2 million signatures. He was working on his mailing list.
Yeah, yeah. And with his Talkabuster, you know, that he did.
Yeah, I mean, 2 million signatures in 2 weeks added to your mailing list, that's pretty impressive. That makes him a stronger candidate in the next election, assuming that Texas just stays stuck where it is right now. I don't think it will, but...
And I think while we're on the note of this, the United States Senate in Texas, I think that we are fallow in the next election because it's designed in the United States Constitution mm-hmm. about how senators shall be elected, two from each state. So and they're 6-year term, mm-hmm. so they're staggered, and they're each put into a class 1, class 2, class 3, and that's how they stagger them officially in the United States Constitution. So for every state, since it's a third, you have one seat's up, and then 2 years later, the second seat's up, and then 2 years later, nobody's running because mm-hmm. nobody's up, and then it starts over. So I think 2014 is when we don't have that kind of race. So anything the effect that it has on him would affect him quite later mm-hmm. down the road. But the next stop will be Cornyn in 2016.
Right. Right, which is part of why he was pandering to the Tea Party, because the next election, his next election is next year, and he needs to line
it's
up that
2 years.
Support.
2 years.
2014.
Cornyn's not up in 2014.
Oh, he's not?
No.
He's 2016?
2016.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I think so.
He won in 2010.
Yeah.
Because, yes, that's right, because Kay was at 2012.
Right.
So, Ted, yeah.
So okay. We're fallow next year.
Okay. I saw this story, and I have several that are just kind of funny stories. Charges are possible for Boy Scout leaders who toppled a Utah rock formation.
I read about this, and this is just heartbreaking to me, that they made a video of them doing it and laughed and stuff.
Here's what the article said, which is kind of... Oh, well, the article's from Fox News, so that tells you
why
it's spun
this way. I saw it from other sources.
That tells you why it's spun this way. A group of Boy Scout leaders may face criminal charges after purposely knocking over an ancient Utah, at least they said purposely, an ancient Utah desert rock formation and posting the video online. The men were leading a group of 14, 16-year-old Boy Scouts on a trip to Goblin Valley State Park when they said they noticed the top of the rock formation was loose and feared it was dangerous. This is about saving lives, one rock at a time. The formation's 170 million years old. And have you ever been to Utah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bryce Canyon and this... the formations kind of look like big mushrooms, so they're on little pedestals and big rocks on top of it, probably formed by water erosion that was there at the time. Okay, so here's what I want to know. If you saw a rock on this huge formation that's, you know, maybe a 10-story formation, would you knock the rock off, A, or B, get away from the rock? Which would you do?
Or C, quietly leave the area and report it to the park ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that rock might fall on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would choose C, actually.
Yeah. But while you're there, it's not, ooh, that rock looks like it's going to come down. Let's shake this thing. And
I think that's spin from Fox News.
You think?
The video, they seem like kids spray painting a wall and running.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's...
Well, even if it is their take, and this is the story that I picked because I figured Boy Scouts, Fox News, okay, let's see how they... I just thought, gee, how stupid. You know, in a landslide, do you say, I'm going to get in the way of those rocks to protect the people? No, you get out of the way. An avalanche. Gee, the snow's coming. I think I'll protect the skiers in front of me by standing in front of the avalanche. You don't do that. You get out of the way.
It's like a lumberjack chopping down a tree where it's going to fall on himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I guess anything to pick on the Boy Scouts. But no, it just seemed, you know, and it's one group. 16 people don't represent several million at all. But so I don't mean to say it that way, but I saw that Boy Scout story and I had to look it up. And I saw several versions and I said, the Fox News one will give me the spin that's kind of interesting. There was an article in the Huffington Post this week, where are the gay federal appellate judges? Well, this week, Todd M. Hughes, who is an attorney at the Department of Justice, became the first openly gay person confirmed as a federal appellate judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. Okay, so what that means is, I couldn't get from this story, is he the first federal appeals judge or the first one on the federal federal circuit? There are circuits throughout the country. So if you're in Texas, the federal you go to one appeals court. If you're in California, that's a different appeals court. If you're in New York, it's a different appeals court.
And the appeals courts line up with the United States Supreme Court justices.
Yes. So there are nine of them.
Right.
Okay, but there's the Federal Circuit, which is different. The Federal Circuit handles things like patents and things like that. So if you have a case in California and it's about marriage equality, it goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
In San Francisco, I guess.
And then there's a layer above that. That's the appeals circuit. And then it would go to the United States Supreme Court, which is exactly what happened with property.
Okay. But if it's like a federal issue like patents, it goes to this federal circuit. And one of the reasons they're saying that it was safe to nominate, and I'm really offended by this, that it was safe to nominate him for this court is because one of the things this court wouldn't hear, the federal circuit wouldn't hear, is a gay marriage case. Because obviously a gay judge can't listen to the merits of a case, whereas a straight judge can.
I think that's insane. They tried that with Justice Vaughn.
Yes.
In California.
Yes.
And that was just insane to me. They said, the right wing was saying, well, he's gay. He can't be objective.
Uh-huh.
Well, so a straight judge can? That's just insane.
You know, what about the straight judge who has extreme religious views, has a right to be a judge? I'm not questioning his right to be a judge. Why is that person qualified to hear a case? He's biased. Why is Scalia, who has those views, why is he qualified to hear a gay marriage case? He's not.
It's insane.
Not by this rule.
It's like many years ago when the Texas legislature was trying to say, in terms of foster care, mm-hmm. that all straight people, they were going to deny all gay people, all homosexuals, the opportunity to serve as foster parents, but all straight people could. I'm like, where do these kids come from? Most of them come from straight homes that are abusive.
Right.
Like, so that's the offensive thing, is that inherent in your sexual orientation is this ability to be objective, to be a foster parent, to be a good foster parent. I mean, that's insane to attribute these kinds of qualities based upon one
attribute. Their credit, Texas Child Protective Services, every time that's come up in the legislature, has gone to the legislature and has said, are you out of your absolute minds? And I know cases where they were looking for a gay couple, like a gay male couple, because this poor little six-year-old kid was tormented and beaten by his mother so badly that he was afraid of women. And, I mean, these friends of mine, that's how they got two of their kids, because they were looking for a gay couple. So it's not just, can they be good parents? You want the whole range of what's out there so that you can find what's best for the kid. Yeah, another example, Jonathan's Place, one of my favorite, not a favorite place, I love the people who work there. It's an emergency shelter in, I guess it's Garland, it's like I-20 at LBJ, not 20, 30, whatever. But it's an emergency shelter for kids who have been removed from their homes, and they try to find them foster care of some sort within 24, 48 hours. So the kids are not there for a while, except for one house that they have of about 8 teenage girls who not only were all raped on drugs, probably pregnant and whatever, you know, in their own homes, and so they were removed from that reason, but it happened to them again in their foster homes.
They have
flunked out of the foster system, and so they're taking care of them in a group home setting. And I mean, I met these girls one time. I wanted to kill some straight people. I really did, because these were just sweet young 13, 14-year-old girls, and they were sweet. Yes. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, they assured me they're not as sweet and innocent as they were putting, but they were. I mean, they're 13 years old. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show. I didn't say that this time. In America, we will be back right after this.
Rice and Wheat is located at 4906 Maple Avenue at Medical District in Dallas and offers a variety of Asian fusion dishes from Vietnamese, Thai, and Japanese influences, including pho, spinach pasta, bento boxes, and more, with vegan options available, as well as beer, wine, and sake. Rice and Wheat is family-owned. Hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. KNON thanks Rice and Wheat for their support. Third annual KNON Halloween Fae Voodoo Party is coming to Port David's Pub on Saturday, October 26th. Doors are at 8 p.m. for an evening of frightening fun with the spooky swamp sounds of JB and the Zydeco Posse. We may not be able to go to haunted New Orleans for Halloween, but we can recreate the spirits of NOLA here. There will be costume contests with prizes for scariest, most original, and most Cajun. So start digging through your closets and planning your costume now. And even better, we will be celebrating Jim Bro for Monday night's Cajun Zydeco Music Party's birthday. Advanced tickets are available at KNON.org and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. That's the third annual KNON Halloween Fae Voodoo with JB and the Zydeco Posse, celebrating Jim Bro's birthday with costume contests and more, Saturday night, October 26th at Port David's Pub, located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. This is a KNON benefit event.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
This is Alex Hanselka, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here with the late Patty Fink. A story I just saw today, I love this. Todd Kincannon, he's the former executive director of the South Carolina GOP. He believes transgender people should be put in a camp. And I was thinking of some of my trans friends, and, you know, swimming, bike riding, horseback riding, I think they'd enjoy it. What do you think?
Crafts?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nice of him to think.
That's
of,
insane.
They should be put in a camp. Where do these people get off that you're different than I am, and so you should be in a concentration camp?
Or an internment camp, whatever their term for it is. It's the same idea.
Uh-huh.
We're going to segregate you because pure animus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like you. You need to be over there, away from me.
Right.
That's really what the whole idea is here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it's disgusting, that kind of thinking and that kind of saying it.
You know,
if they think it, I want them to say it. I really do.
Well, basically, that is what
he's
saying.
Because I think they need to be exposed to who they are.
He said, there are people who respect transgender rights, and there are people who think you should all be put in a camp. That's me. That's a tweet of his. I have plenty of compassion for trannies. This is another one of his...
Trannies?
He has compassion for them.
Ah, wow.
They should all be locked up in mental institutions and their care paid for by the state. See, he's not even making them pay for their own care. Isn't that nice? Yeah, they should just
you can't say the words I'm thinking right now.
I have no
air.
Problem with gays, but I hate trannies. I think they are disgusting freaks, and they are. Am I evil? Yes.
Yes.
He's the one who needs to be taken out of society. I mean, somebody who hates that much. Wow.
And this is his, what, third tweet?
There's more.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, he didn't let this up. I'm totally okay with gays. I'll just bet. You want to have them over for Thanksgiving this year? I don't. I'm totally okay with gays, and I celebrate female bisexuality. I bet he does.
I bet he does, too.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. As if it were the Mona Lisa of genital sports, but transsexuals are sick freaks.
Wait. The Mona Lisa of what?
Genital sports.
He needs to be put away without his stash.
Uh-huh. There are more that he doesn't like. The only things I hate these days are commies, trannies, and most Muslims.
Wow. He's just spewing hate all over Twitter.
Uh-huh. Doesn't Twitter have hate speech regulations? I know Facebook does. I'm not big on Twitter, but I know Facebook does. You know, wow. You know,
Is he
in a position of power.
Did he try at all to take it all back?
No.
Wow.
No. I'm not giving you that this is what he said before he gave a I'm sorry if you're offended. This is what he said, period.
And I hate those anyway, the sorry if anyone was offended. Oh. When he knows that, one, there were people who were offended, two, they were definitely offended. It's not maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Going to try and capture it all. Mm-hmm. So he's not even really owning it. And what you really want in an apology is that what I did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know, one, here's what I did wrong. Two, I said it wrong.
It's not what I meant at all. That's not me.
I regret it, and I hurt you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that
and
I
I'm
hurt
sorry.
Yeah.
Not I'm sorry if you were offended. I'm sorry.
Because it sounds like you're dismissing the fact that you know that they are.
He's not apologizing. Now, when he says commies, first of all, who are the commies? China?
North Korea.
North Korea? Okay, North Korea. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about Obama.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about. You know that. Trannies and most Muslims. Huh. How many Muslims live in this country right now? Do we know?
Millions.
Well, I know it's in the millions. I was just wondering. He is talking about millions of people that he hates, that he thinks should be in internment camps. That's kind of frightening. I just don't get
and
that.
And his name is, again?
Kincannon. Yeah.
Todd Kincannon.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
Speaking about trannies, speaking about transgender people, you know, the other part of this, obviously he doesn't know people who are transgender, and I've done a number of stories.
He doesn't know that he knows.
Probably.
That's what people say. I don't know anyone who's gay. You don't know anyone who's. You don't know anyone that you know is gay.
Is gay. Yeah. Well, there are some people who live in real closed little. You know, if it wasn't for people in my family, I probably wouldn't know any straight people. Oh wait, there's one in the studio here, isn't there? Oh right, I forgot. You know, I did a story a few weeks ago in the Dallas Voice about this attorney. The reason she went into her own business, because she was a public defender, is as she was transitioning, she just didn't want to have to deal with everything you have to deal with. But she's developed this specialty in transgender law, which is everything from, you know, just changing your name, changing your gender marker, and then which allows you to change things like your driver's license so that your driver's license says you're a female when you're dressing as a female.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you've had the operation, because it's not about operations, it's about, you know, it's about here's who I am, here's what my license says, here's what my ID says.
It doesn't matter about the surgeries at all.
Do you know what the statistics are for unemployment in the transgender community?
Oh, it's got to be astronomically high.
It's 50%. So she's doing a lot of this just as a free clinic for people, but it's employment discrimination. There are lots of laws that are protecting transgender people for, you know, against discrimination. Well, actually, there are now, because the Obama administration has ruled transgender discrimination is simply sex discrimination. And there's a case, it's down in Seven Points, that's going up, that's going into court. It was just filed. It'll be the first time testing it. And it's a HUD case, and it's HUD who's actually filing the case. It's a real interesting little case. It was.
I think I read about this. It was in a trailer park.
It was in a trailer park in Athens that they were thrown out. Just an interesting case. A nice couple, actually. You thought Proposition 8 was a problem now opponents in California are starting a ballot effort to dump their transgender law.
Do you know why? Because NOM doesn't have anything else to do in California. They got defeated.
They got
thoroughly
defeated.
And soundly squashed like a bug. And now they're picking up other things. And they're going to go after transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is NOM? It's the
National Organization
of Marriage. And, you know, now they're going to go after transgender people, which is sort of against
their... Which has nothing
to
do with marriage.
Right. But they need
something
else. Well,
I guess it does. It does have to do with marriage, because here in Texas, it's legal for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman if you were born the opposite sex and one of you has become the opposite sex. So if one of you was born female, the other one transitioned to female, you can get married. And, in fact, the first same-sex marriage in the country took place in Texas after the Littleton case because you're a man, that's a woman, you two can get married. So two women walked into City Hall, got married.
This is the Jessica Wicks case.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she and her partner in Minnesota now.
Yeah, yeah.
Her spouse, I should say.
Right. Yeah, and in Minnesota...
Now they can get married.
Two people can get married, right. But, so that's... what they're arguing is it's a law that Jerry Brown, the governor, signed into law in August. It says that schools must allow transgender students to use the bathrooms and locker rooms and play on sports teams that match their gender identification.
But it's just an expansion, re-edification of the non-discrimination laws that already exist in California.
Sure.
So even if they took this out, it's not going to take out the practice that this law underscores, because all it's saying is just pointing out another way that the bigger non-discrimination laws protect transgender people. They're just spelling it out in this law.
You know, they're acting like this law is such an imposition. First of all, every school doesn't have a whole bunch of transgender people, because we're talking about, you know, gays and lesbians are coming out younger and younger. And you have some who come out at 7, and you have a bunch who come out now at 13, and in high school there are a lot. But still, a lot of people don't come out until college or their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel safe to do it at home. They're not mature enough to do it. You know, you came out when?
Right after college.
Okay, after college. I came out in college. Why didn't you come out earlier?
I was at Baylor. Come on, do the math.
You didn't feel safe. I didn't come out earlier. I came out like at 19. I wasn't mature enough. I mean, it wasn't that I was straight. I mean, I went out with girls. I went out, you know, but that's it. But now some are coming out young. Transgender, there are a bunch that are coming out in school.
Well, they're beginning to, I mean, because that has nothing to do with... sexual orientation. Gender identity is, in and of itself, you could be the only person in the planet and you would have a gender identity, and if that gender identity does not match your biological gender
body,
you'd have to go through the same thing that a kid would go through.
Right.
Say, I don't feel, I am not a girl, I'm
but
a boy.
But my point is,
boy,
if the gay and lesbian community is 3-4, maybe... Biggest estimates is 10% of the population, but out seems to be 3-5%. The transgender population isn't 1%, and they're even more likely to come out later. It might be a very effeminate boy, but that doesn't mean that he's identifying that way yet. But some schools do have a transgender kid or two. So it doesn't affect everybody, doesn't affect every school. It's not like it's this huge imposition. All they have to do is arrange so that the kids can go to the bathroom. Do you know what a lot of transgender people do? They don't go to the bathroom in public ever because they're so afraid of being arrested, harassed, killed.
Right, Right. And there are a lot of other people who don't go to public bathrooms either, but I think it's a very different issue with them. Mm-hmm. But for a trans person, it's a cleaner way, if you can get away from wherever you are, to not deal with it.
Right.
Because of the bigotry out there that's what are you doing in here?
Right. Okay, so use bathrooms, locker rooms, and play on sports teams. Even if you're transgender, how many kids who are transitioning who have not had surgery are going to feel comfortable enough to go into the locker room of the opposite sex? Not a whole lot. But the ones who really feel at age 11, 13, mm-hmm. 15, I am actually that sex that my body does, it's not somebody who's in there threatening people. They make it seem like you're transgender because you really want to molest other people.
They attribute something insidious to it that's not there. Not there. It's not there at all.
Okay, now, here's my theory. Gay people, or these right-wing extremists, these ministers who preach anti, what always happens to them? They get caught with a gay prostitute, right?
Mm-hmm.
This fear that, they want to molest. No, it's them that want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's in their sick minds.
Because they went there, we didn't.
Do you know how fearful transgender people are? You can imagine it, but I've had, from some of the stories that I've written, I've had people tell me just how fearful they are that they won't go to the bathroom when they have to desperately go to the bathroom because they're that afraid of being molested themselves,
attacked.
Harassed, attacked, and killed.
Yep.
And they just won't do it. Or they know places like North Park has a family bathroom with a single stall, and that's where they go. And that's where they'll shop because there is that facility there, and you just get to know that.
Right. You know, I was surprised the first time I saw one in Dallas-Fort Worth was actually at Old Town Mall. And in an area of town that I didn't think would be that forward-thinking. Mm-hmm. And this was 10, 15 years ago. And I was thrilled. I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it really is, I think, the impetus to bring them about was the mom that has two girls and three boys, and they're all stair-stepped, and she's out at the mall shopping, which has got to be a nightmare in itself. And then they have to go to the bathroom. Well, you can't leave, you know, kids alone standing out there. So you have to take them all with you, and you have to really take them all inside the stall if they're young kids. And so the family bathroom allows one to go, the next one to go, and they can be supervised and, you know, taken care of. But in a normal public restroom, you have no room for that.
Right.
No space,
Ron,
no accommodation.
Is a dad, has a 4-year-old daughter. He's not sending her into the ladies' room by herself. He's taking her into the men's room,
mm-hmm.
or actually using a family bathroom.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea because there are situations you need more room. You've got a tribe of kids, you know. You've mm-hmm. got to bring them all in there with you. You know,
exactly.
It's a great
the other
idea.
Thing about this, when we're talking about what a small percentage, okay, so you have a woman, a girl who's transitioning to be a boy. Now, the new law requires the sports team to accept the person on as the gender that they
self-identify
as. How many women actually transitioning to men are going to qualify to be on the football team?
Probably very few. It's probably not even going to be a focus they're in right now, my guess.
It probably isn't. If there's one in the state who makes a football team, we'll know about it because that person is going to be in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that person made the football team is because he's that good.
Yep.
Right?
Or the tennis team or the swim team.
Well, the tennis team more likely. Swim team possibly. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. It's the number of cases of this. It's kind of like the recall election for DP Benefits in El Paso. DP Benefits cost them something like $17,000 or $18,000. The recall election for DP Benefits cost something like $125,000. And it was done. Why? Mean-spirited. Half of the people who took advantage of DP Benefits were straight. It had nothing to do with anything at all. One last little thing. Thomas Roberts is from MSNBC. He's an MSNBC host. He's going to be...
He recently married his partner.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be the host of Miss Universe, which is being held in Russia.
Interesting.
Now, what's his name from Bravo?
Cohen?
Yeah,
Andy Cohen?
Yeah, Andy Cohen.
I can't stand that guy.
Well, he was originally supposed to be... He was originally supposed to be the host. And he pulled out, saying he feared for his own safety. What do you think of this guy, Cohen?
Oh, I think he'll be great. And that's another reason, like, Elton John has kept his tour dates in Russia, because he wants to be that kind of, like, spearhead for the LGBT people there to say, you're not alone. Somebody else out in the world
kind
is coming to Russia and say,
me.
You're not alone. And he's like, whatever happens, happens, but I'm gonna go.
One last thing. UNT, University of North Texas, took over the archives of Resource Center Dallas about a year ago. Mm-hmm. They've been archiving the catalog of what they have is 300 pages long. So just a line listing of everything they have, 300 pages. They've cataloged that much. They opened up a museum exhibit this week. I went up to the exhibit to see, and there were things about some hate crimes that happened in Dallas and Judge Hampton and just all kinds of interesting things. I'm going through the exhibit, two pictures of me in there. I'm a museum exhibit. It means I'm old.
You're a relic.
I'm a relic. And with that, we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. See you then.